Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking today about the 2018 ballot questions, bringing you insight from both sides of each issue so you can make up your own mind about how you want to vote. Initiated Measure 22 looks into the money behind those ballot questions, whether or not South Dakota should attempt to restrict where it comes from. Here is the Attorney General explanation.
On November 6th, South Dakotans will vote on an initiated measure that prohibits contributions to statewide ballot question committees by non-residents, political committees organized outside South Dakota, and by any entity that has not filed as an entity with the Secretary of State 4 years prior to making a contribution. It requires the Secretary of State to impose a civil penalty on any ballot question committee that accepts a prohibited contribution. The civil penalty is double the amount of the contribution. The measure requires the Secretary of State to investigate alleged contribution violations prohibited by this measure. Currently, there are state laws regulating other kinds of election-related contributions, disclaimers, and disclosures. Violations of these laws are classified as misdemeanors and are subject to criminal penalties. The measure allows a court to impose a civil penalty, up to $5,000 per violation, in addition to the criminal penalty. Under the measure, the Secretary of State must investigate alleged violations of these particular election-related laws. All civil penalties collected under this measure will be placed in the State General Fund. The measure is likely to be challenged on constitutional grounds. The text of the proposed law is as follows: an act to prohibit contributions to ballot question committees by out-of-state residents, political committees, and entities, and to establish civil penalties therefor.
Initiated Measure 24, that is the Attorney General explanation. And now SDPB's Lee Strubinger is in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Black Hills Bureau. Lee, this conversation is all yours.
Hey, thanks, Lori. I'm sitting here with State Representative David Lust, who represents District 34. He's joining me in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City. Hey, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And also on the phone is State Representative Spencer Gosch. He's somewhere between Bowdell and Glenham and is taking time away from the harvest to be here. He represents District 23. Representative Gosch, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely.
So I want to start with you. The issue that IM24 is addressing is something that's come up in the state legislature the last 2 years, and it's an idea that you've brought to the State House. Can you kind of tell us where this came from, and is it a result of the 2016 election and the number of ballot questions that year?
Well, you know, during the 2016, it is inadvertently. But during the 2016 election, I was elected by a general where we had no opponents elected in the primary where we had no opponents in the general, which allowed me a lot of time in the campaign season. So I took that time to get out and have conversations in my large district. District 23 is the largest House district in the state of South Dakota. And I took that time to go to different communities and to ask those individuals what they thought, how they felt, and try to have those conversations about the different initiated measures that were going to be on the ballot. In an attempt to try to make an educated voting base out there to be able to make their decisions off of the facts and to move forward that way. It consistently came up when we talked about the amount of ads the people have seen, the amount of funding that stuck behind these things. It was always brought up that what's going on, why is the need for this, and why is there so much funding behind it, and where's the money coming from? And the vast majority of the money was coming from out-of-state sources, individuals that had no interest in the state of South Dakota other than to use our initiated measure process and our system as a guinea pig, if you will, to test out their theories and to test out their ideas and try to push forward their thoughts. When I expressed that opinion to my constituents, they all said, why are we allowing out-of-state people, out-of-state money, individuals that have no interest in the state of South Dakota to change the way we do things? We don't allow that to be done at the country level. Do we not have any more sovereignty as a state anymore? And that's where the idea kind of stemmed from. It started in a much broader form, and it was carefully narrowed and crafted into what is there today and what you see today. We passed the House of Representatives both times, both committee and on the floor, both years in 2017 and 2018, and it failed by a very narrow margin in the Senate State Affairs, and that's why we brought it here. It was polled to the public of South Dakota. They did I know the governor's office and some of the proponents for this idea got behind it and wanted to see what South Dakotans how they felt about this particular subject, and it came with overwhelming support. So they came to the table and said, well, we'll maybe run it to as an initiated measure, and we'll allow the state of South Dakota to decide what they wanted.
And Representative Lust, this is something that you've also been kind of vocal in your opposition to on the state, on the legislative floor there in the House. Why are you opposed to this concept?
Well, I don't disagree with a lot of things Representative Gosch said about public's discomfort with out-of-state money and out-of-state influence, but the reality is I kind of view this measure as symptomatic of where we are in this country on a broader issue, that things that we don't like, we want the quick fix, whether it's in medicine or anything else. We want something to make the discomfort go away. But you know what? We live in a democracy, and democracy oftentimes is not comfortable. It's not pretty, and it can be messy. And that's what we have here. We have constitutional guidelines of what can and can't be done regarding speech and the infringement of speech. And this measure clearly violates every precedent that the Supreme Court has said about speech. And I have absolutely no doubt that it's unconstitutional. And it's an exercise in futility. Moreover, I mean, the ultimate premise of this measure is that South Dakotans can't discern what is good speech and what is bad speech. I fundamentally disagree with that. These measures that we've objected to in the past and had problems with in the past, funded primarily from out of state, require South Dakota citizen signatures to get on the ballot. So these are petitions that have South Dakotans have signed and put on the ballot. And now we're saying that, you know, despite what South Dakotans have approved to put on the ballot, they don't know what's good for them. And not only that, but any subsequent speech that's associated with those measures, we're too dense to figure out what's accurate and what's not. And that fundamentally offends me and clearly offends the U.S. Constitution and the case law that has set the precedent in this area.
I'd like to dive a little bit into that constitutionality part of it, because you had alluded to that the Supreme Court has ruled on cases of speech, and in this particular case, it would be money being speech. Does this go back to Citizens United in 2010, or does it go back further?
It goes back further than that. I mean, the Supreme Court has stated, I think going back as far as the 60s, that speech is money. I mean, it's the equivalent. How do you get your speech out? Well, it takes money to do that, and so that's established Supreme Court precedent. Citizens United expanded on that and the restrictions of speech and what's legitimate. But in this field, we're talking about and the idea of restricting speech for campaign measures. The Supreme Court has made clear that if there's a potential for corruption or a quid pro quo, meaning I'm going to make this contribution and I expect something in return, kind of the corruption piece, then there's some ability to restrict speech and restrict spending and money. But that's not what we have here. I mean, there's no opportunity for corruption or quid pro quo when you're dealing with a ballot measure. If an out-of-state company contributes toward a ballot measure, there's no one to be corrupted because it's the state policy that they're passing. So there's no quid pro quo there. And that's what I think is very clear from the case law. And that's why I think this is, again, an effort in futility to try to overturn it.
Representative Gosch, what about that idea of constitutionality? And even in the Attorney General's explanation, it says that it, you know, will likely be challenged on constitutional grounds.
Yeah, the argument of constitutionality really stems back to what rights do you have of sovereignty? You know, you want to talk about Supreme Court cases and Supreme Court law. Just recently, it's been decided once again and upheld that, you know, Russians aren't allowed to try to influence our elections inside our country. So So we're arguing that the state of South Dakota, with, if you have no interest in the state of South Dakota, to change the way we do things as well. And now, but they are a bit different, and I want to kind of reiterate some of the things that Representative Les talked about. You know, we talked about free speech and how money equals speech, and that is correct. The Supreme Court has ruled that, but the Supreme Court has not ruled that the more money you have, the better your speech will be upheld. And yes, South Dakotans are the ones that did sign the petitions for these, but again, we're not restricting that, we're not limiting that, we're not doing anything about that. As long as you're a South Dakotan, this change, this is one law that we could put on the books that would absolutely in no way change any of the laws that affect the residents, the businesses that do business here, or the organizations that are currently in the state of South Dakota. It simply affects out-of-state money, out-of-state individuals that don't have any interest in the state of South Dakota. The truth of the matter is, all the precedents that we could state, and we won't waste time and bore you with a bunch of legal precedents, they're all specific in nature. You could go through the court cases and see that they're specific to the situation at hand, and that this question is an unanswered question and has never been fought in the Supreme Court, and there is no direct ruling on this particular case today.
And that was going to be my follow-up question. Is this a law that was kind of written much like the online sales tax collection bill that eventually made its way to the Supreme Court? Is the idea here designed with that in mind?
No, the idea isn't designed to try to take us to the Supreme Court, but we felt that the fight was worth it. The people of South Dakota were polled, and they feel that the fight is worth it, that if it is taken, that we are willing to fight that fight in order to protect our ideas and our state and the process that we do things. Remember, we want to protect the initiated measure process for the residents of South Dakota. I don't want to protect the initiated measure process for the residents of California and New York. And that's what we're trying to do here. Is we're trying to say, you live here, you know, South Dakotans don't have, if you take a look at our economy, we're a great place, and it's just best place in the world to live, but we don't have the disposable income that some others have in other states and in other areas. So to try to combat that, I would argue to say that because of that factor, our speech is less important if you were to follow the money equals speech argument. So we're trying to bring it back to the table. We're trying to give South Dakotans back their powerful voice. We were the first state to do the initiated measure process. The first state in the union, we did it because we were afraid outside interests like railroads were going to control the legislature. And that's why we created the initiated measure process. And now we are here faced yet once again in the 21st century of out-of-state interests using their money to try to influence and control the way we do things in the state of South Dakota. So no, this wasn't brought with the assumption we'd be going to a fight, but knowing that it is an unanswered question and that the Supreme Court has never dealt with this specific issue, we knew that it likely could end up there.
Representative Lust, you know, what about that? Is the state being railroaded in the 21st century?
Well, let me address the idea that this hasn't been addressed by the Supreme Court. And that is correct. This specific issue is not, because no one's been foolish enough to try, because the groundwork is so clear that it's unconstitutional. That's why this hasn't been challenged. I mean, you look at the case law, Representative Gosch has a memo from LRC, and I've talked to plenty of professors and whatnot. It is so clearly unconstitutional that there's a reason there's not a case directly on point, because no one has thus far been wanting to waste the money to fight this battle, because it can't be won. And Representative Gosch also talked about, you know, protecting South Dakotans. And that's what I don't like about this measure. It's awfully big brother of us to say we're going to protect South Dakotans from speech from Iowa and Minnesota and pick a state. I mean, to me, that's not the role of government, to protect people from speech that they find uncomfortable or they don't like. Because ultimately, I think South Dakotans are smart enough to sift through the speech. We're talking about advertisement. Sift through that and determine what's right. And that's what kind of offends me about the whole notion that we need to protect South Dakotans from these big, bad out-of-staters. And to draw an equivalent to Russians and direct involvement in corrupting our elections is just silly, it's a hollow analogy and lacks substance. I mean, the Supreme Court has said if there's a quid pro quo opportunity, there can be regulation of speech. If there's not, there can't be. And clearly that's not the case here.
What about the idea of that the 4-year requirement for an entity before they can donate money in the brief time that we have? Wouldn't that kind of prove that those entities do have a vested interest in South Dakota as opposed to, you know, someone just deciding to come in real quick and dump a bunch of money?
Well, that's the practical applications of this. As with any law, I mean, there are ways to work around it. I mean, 4 years, completely arbitrary time frame. What makes a company more vested in South Dakota after 4 years as opposed to 2 or 8 or 16? I mean, once you start getting these arbitrary lines about what is, you know, what is a legitimate contact, what's not, I mean, you quickly get to a point where it's unenforceable. And even if this were to pass, which I hope it doesn't, it won't be found constitutional, there's going to be workarounds, as there has been in almost every time you've tried to regulate speech, and that's what we'll see here.